Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Since Israel was declared once again a nation, or not once again, I guess that is correct, ladies and gentlemen, once again, because they were a nation. But when they were declared a nation officially, 1948, it began a countdown for the end days as Christ told his disciples. He said, once you see this fig tree blossom, that referring to Israel, or bud again, the approach to Christ's second coming would be hastened. A lot of things would begin to happen at that point. Jesus told his disciples to look for certain markers once this major occurrence took place. These things would include great deception, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, pestilences, signs in the stars and in the heaven, and other things. And he said, when you see all these things beginning to happen, occurring together, look up. So my question is, are we in that time? Should we be looking at the events of the day in light of what Christ said? Should we not be looking to Israel and what God is doing with his people in his land? We're going to consider these things today on Stand in the Gap Today, some current events, and we're going to spend most of the time considering key events as they are relating to Israel with our special guest, White House correspondent, biblical and Middle East scholar, and founder of World Watch Daily, Bill Koenig. And with that, I welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I am Sam Rohr. I'll be joined today by Isaac Crockett and Dave Kistler. Well, men, before we specifically get into the major issues surrounding Israel, I want to highlight some key occurrences that have just happened on the heels of Hurricane Irma that, in my opinion, may fit very well into the continued warnings to the United States, which we've talked about, we believe, fell into a 40-day really critical period following the solar eclipse on August the 21st. Now, we know that after the historic event on August 21st, that eclipse day, that Harvey sprang to life and broke all records. Then Irma sprang to life and broke more records. Then over the past weekend, more records were broken here in the United States, in Idaho, as an example, where in just a few days, and continuing as we speak, there have been over 290 earthquakes. That's right, 290 of them. Let me read from just one brief article here. Quote, an earthquake swarm in southeastern Idaho is rattling windows across parts of the state and Wyoming and Utah. There have now been over 260 earthquakes since September the 2nd in the Soda Springs area, and many have been over a magnitude of 4 and even higher on the Richter scale. The earthquake swarm in southeast Idaho looked as it might be ending or at least slowing down. This would be last Thursday or Friday, but then on Saturday, when it arrived, by the end of day, 19 more had struck. There have been 34 more tremblers on Sunday, bringing the earthquake to over 204 since September the 2nd. And all of the quakes are occurring just to the southeast and northeast of Soda Springs. Now, I put that in context because that's not all that far off from Yellowstone super volcano. So there's a lot of action on that. And then again, yesterday, here's another one. Yesterday, San Francisco Bay Area. The Weather Service reported, quote, that Tuesday morning, yesterday, it was between actually 12 noon and 5 p.m. yesterday, there were reported over 1,200 cloud-to-ground strikes of lightning. And get this, 5,800 of them in cloud strikes in the Bay Area in that thunderstorm. Unbelievable. These are record-setting. Dave, I want to go to you. These events, these earthquake swarms, lightning strikes, they haven't created damage yet, so they're not receiving that much attention. Yet, they're all significant natural events that would fall potentially in the same category as the hurricanes and the wildfires that are burning out of control out there where you are right now, Dave. My question to you, is it appropriate to look for and anticipate events like this in particularly in this 40-day window since the eclipse, or is drawing any connection inappropriate? I know we've talked about it, but just put this down as a marker again for us.
Well, Sam, I believe it's very, very appropriate. In fact, just moments ago, I completed an article that I write for our local newspaper, and I addressed this very thing. In the last month, Sam, we've had this eclipse. We've had two major hurricanes. We've had wildfires in the Northwest. We've had now these weather-related events that you're describing, and at least should cause us to pause and say, God, are you trying to arrest our attention? And according to Romans 8:22, the Bible says this, that in the last days, the whole earth is going to groan and travail. And that is birthing terminology. In other words, it's going to shake. It's going to have catastrophic type responses in the earth. All of that in preparation for, I believe, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Sam, I think it is beyond appropriate to bring these things up and discuss them.
Bill Koenig, let me bring you in right off. I'll introduce you more formally in the second segment. I'll bring you in right now. The 40-day window following the solar eclipse started the last month, I believe, of the month of Elul, the last month in the Jewish calendar. The day of the eclipse here was also occurring at the same time where sunsetting was happening in Jerusalem, where the shofar was sounded, and I believe does it every day now for 40 days as we approach the observance of Rosh Hashanah, now, which begins on October 2nd. Would you draw any connection that you would see fit between the 40 days of repentance here leading up to Rosh Hashanah on the Jewish calendar and perhaps that same 40 days as following the solar eclipse? Any connection that you would want to make?
Yeah, absolutely. When the rabbis, the Orthodox rabbis look at anything to do with the lunar, like the lunar eclipse or blood red moons, is an omen or a sign to Israel of a pending war. They also look at the sun, the solar eclipse, as a omen or a sign of possible judgment, conflict, battle, war for the Gentiles. So the Gentiles are connected to the sun. The rabbis speak of the Jewish people connected to the moon. And Sam, with that lineup, I mean, I've watched these things day in, day out with the work that I do with the State of Israel and its covenant land. This is an unprecedented period of time. I have not seen such a significance. We've had earthquakes. We have solar flares. They're expecting even more intense solar flares, which affect earthquakes, which affect volcanoes, which affect storms, which is very interesting in itself. And plus these, we've never had hurricanes of the magnitude of Irma and Harvey back-to-back like this. And an example of these earthquakes, I think a lot of sense in the spirit, the times are changing, and this period of Elul 1, starting with the eclipse of Elul 1 through the rest of this month, this period of repentance has a lot to do with America and this Gentile nation.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard a lot of pertinent things here this morning already, and we believe it sets the stage for the discussion for the balance of this program, where we're going to now begin to focus specifically on Israel and very, very key things. Next segment, we're going to call Danger Signs for Israel. Mixed messages, perhaps, from the White House. We're going to look at the peace treaty arrangement that is underway. What's happening there? We're going to ultimately move to what's happening with Iran and the new potential state of Kurdistan. We're going to talk about all of these things because it all bears down on biblical prophecy and the excitement, really, of these days. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be right back.
Hey, I'm Brant. Just read this news item about the two things that are stressing Americans out the most. Thought this was interesting. They say we're losing a record amount of sleep because of these two things. Number one, healthcare expenses. And the second thing, saving for retirement. The two biggest stressors. But what's remarkable? You can make a phone call right now and actually take action on both of these at once. Just call MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses, and it works beautifully. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993. Most members save about $500 a month compared to other healthcare plans. Imagine having a great healthcare plan and adding $500 for your retirement every month. One call, two less things to stress about, and that can help you sleep better at night. Here's the number. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE. Now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Our general theme for the program today is this: staying in focus, all eyes on Israel. And there's a reason that we're doing that, ladies and gentlemen, because we said at the beginning of the program, Christ told his disciples that when they ask about what the days before Christ's second coming would look like, he immediately talked about, well, you're going to see a budding of fig tree, referring to Israel coming back into the land, which has now happened, and then other things to watch for: deception, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famines, pestilences, signs in the sky, all of those things, which we touched on briefly in the last segment. But we want to move further now into the whole circumstance surrounding Israel, because what we've seen there, a nation, came into being after being disbanded as a nation, never happened in the history of the world, started a clock ticking, where world events and end time prophecies, I think without dispute, have begun to move ahead with a greatly enhanced speed. And we just simply can't ignore these events in the context of how it relates to Israel, because that's frankly how God is orchestrating his plan of redemption. It has everything to do with Israel. So to connect some of the dots here in this program, I want to now officially welcome to the program Bill Koenig. He is White House correspondent. He is a biblical scholar. He focuses a great deal on the Middle East, and he is also the founder of World Watch Daily. And you can go to that website. Good information. It's very simple. It's just watch.org. Bill, I want to officially welcome you to the program. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Sam.
Let's start here, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were with us on this program. Hurricane Harvey had sprung to life and had just struck. And you made a point of saying on that program that, coincidentally or not, and you would suggest not coincidentally, that that happened almost identically the same time as Jared Kushner, son-in-law of the president, landed in Jerusalem to kickstart the peace process between Israel and the Palestinians. If you could, bring us up to date with what that effort is now looking like. What happened when Jared went? What has been happening since he's been there? What's been the impact of Jared Kushner's attempt to reinvigorate the peace efforts there in the Middle East?
Well, Sam, just briefly, in my book, Eye to Eye, I document when U.S. presidents, whether it's Bush, Clinton, Bush, Obama, or even Trump, apply pressure on Israel to give up their covenant land, Judea, Samaria, and East Jerusalem, for an Arab state, there is a rebuke, an atmospheric rebuke, which I believe is the God of Israel, because it happens over and over again. I've documented 127 times since the Madrid Land for Peace Conference began of October 31st, November 1, 1991, when the perfect storm was sending 30-foot waves into President Bush's home in Kennebunkport, Maine, as he's calling on Israel to leave this land. And what was interesting about Harvey, and let me put it this way, every major hurricane, three plus, has had a connection to Israel all the way back to the beginning of the Madrid Conference. Every single one, the ones in 2004, the ones in 2005, Harvey, and now Irma. But what was happening, Sam, is Kushner and Greenblatt and Powell, Dina Powell, who works for the National Security Council, were in Qatar, Doha, Qatar. They were in Jeddah and also in Abu Dhabi, meeting with the leaders over there. And I might add, these were secretive meetings. I had to literally study the Arab press to find out about these meetings. Even some of the major networks were trying to get information about where's Kushner, where is he right now? And matter of fact, CBS contacted Secret Service, and they confirmed that he was in Doha, Qatar, on August 21st. August 22nd, he was in Jeddah. 22nd, he's also in Abu Dhabi, meeting with the leadership there. Then he went to Jordan to meet with King Abdullah, and then he went to Egypt to meet with President El-Sisi. What was interesting is during this period of time, from August 19th, the former tropical depression, tropical storm Harvey's was finished. It was dead. There was no more advisories for 3.5 days out of the National Hurricane Center. And at the moment that Kushner arrived in Jerusalem, Harvey reformed that night on the 23rd, became a tropical storm. And at the time he was meeting with Netanyahu and Abbas the next day, Harvey became a Category 3, then 4, and became a monster hurricane. So to put it in a perspective, I mean, it shocked the hurricane people because the storm was finished, but it rejuvenated once Kushner arrived in Israel and started pushing on his comprehensive plan for Middle East with the key component to this of Israel agreeing to give up some of their covenant land for the price of peace.
Bill, as you well know, during the campaign, President Trump talked repeatedly about the possibility of moving the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. We're not hearing a lot about that right now, but what we are hearing, and it's a matter of great concern to many of us, is that there are mixed messages with respect to Israel coming out of the White House. Are you hearing those mixed messages? And if so, can you talk about what specifically they are?
Yeah, a couple things here, Dave. Number one, he's still committed to moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, the U.S. Embassy. And Vice President Pence acknowledges this frequently. And I really believe it'll happen at some point. But they believe, for the sake of negotiations, this isn't the time to attempt it. That what we're seeing right now is a conflict, a typical conflict that's been going on for years between the White House and the State Department. The State Department still has Arabists, many Arabists that have been in the State Department for a long time. Unfortunately, Tillerson has brought on a couple of former Obama people that were involved in the peace process that are very committed to trying to create a Palestinian state. But I think what's really interesting is President Trump and Kushner have this idea that there can be a Middle East peace deal, which is interesting. Is the United States will say, okay, you Sunni Arab countries that border the Persian Gulf, Kuwait, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, we will side with you. We will work with you and stand with you against the threat Iran is to the Middle East. And then we want you to normalize relationships with Israel. Kushner arranged for President Trump to speak to leaders of 50 Muslim countries when he was in Riyadh in late May. That was somewhat of a coup where Trump actually went to Riyadh and spoke to these leaders. So the idea is, okay, we're going to be with you. We're going to be friends with you. We want to see peace. I mean, Kushner's Jewish, Greenblatt's Jewish, David Friedman's Jewish. You know, they're very staunch on the land, but if there's a chance of bringing peace to Israel, let's try this comprehensive, you know, somewhat brilliant plan. But the problem here, Dave, is the component that's necessary for that plan to make it work is Israel's land. And that's where I think we continue to see the rebuke.
Bill, in the end of the day, what do you think are the reasons behind these mixed messages occurring? Is it more than just that? And also, for my sake and the sake of the listeners out there, who would you identify as some of the people making these deals with the Palestinians that don't seem to be in favor of Israel?
Well, you know, that's a good question, Isaac. I think when you look at the situation there, as I just mentioned, the State Department has been very difficult to deal with. There was times when George W. Bush, I've been serving at the White House for 16 and a half years, and there was times when George W. Bush would say something and the State Department would counter it or come up with something different. And we were saying, like, well, who's in control here? Is it the White House in control or is it the State Department that's in control? And there's a lot of lifers, so to speak, that are very pro-Arab that have been in the State Department a long time. And we're studying right now that Tillerson has actually brought on some people at the State Department to assist him. They, you know, just in the last week, they were talking about $57 to $75 million that was an overage that the people at the State Department says, you know, we don't want that. That shouldn't be going to Israel. And all of a sudden, fortunately, Trump in 48 hours later says, no, that overage is fine in this memorandum that Obama did with the Palestinians, but we want that money to go there. So that was a good indication of the continued tension between the White House and the State Department. And I want to be very specific. I think President Trump in many ways has been a better friend and a greater friend of Israel than any other president. I mean, we've had presidents that are friends of Israel. Obama, that's still out for debate. But the fact is Trump is very favorable to the Jewish state. He's got an Orthodox Jew, David Friedman, as the ambassador to Israel. He has a great relationship with Netanyahu. And I really think all of these guys want to see Israel live in peace and security. We know biblically it doesn't happen till the end when the Messiah comes. But for us, from that perspective, is that's why we continue to lobby and write about the fact that this land is God's. He gave it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants, and there's no one neither has the right to divide this land.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're hearing it straight. This is Bill Koenig, special guest today, White House correspondent, expert on the Middle East and Israel. That's why he's on here with us today as we're trying to look at this whole issue, general theme, staying in focus, all eyes on Israel. Now, when we come back, we're going to stay in the Middle East, but we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening around Israel with Iran and the axis of powers. And we're going to bring up this question about, is there a new nation emerging called Kurdistan there in the Middle East? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, you are listening to Stand in the Gap Today. Our general theme is this, staying in focus, all eyes on Israel. We've talked about signs of the times, events that we're seeing around us that are leading us towards what we know will happen at some point, and we believe it coming sooner than later, that is the return of Christ, his second coming. It's just all through the Word of God. It's what it's about, and we're looking at things today relative to Israel, events that are happening there, and how these pieces fit together. Now, if you're just joining us on the program today, perhaps midway through your lunch hour, if you're listening on the East Coast, we want to welcome you and want to encourage you, if you have not done so, visit our website, standinthegapradio.com. There you can find archives of all of the programs, this one and our other two programs, radio programs that we have. If you've not downloaded our app, I encourage you, please do that. More and more are doing it and finding it to be extraordinarily convenient. Just on your iPhone or Android, it's a free app. Just enter the phrase when you go to your store. Just put in the phrase, Stand in the Gap. Download it. You have access to this program, listening to it when you want, at your leisure. You can communicate to us. We can communicate to you more easily, and you can partner with us. And we ask you to consider strongly partnering with us. We are a ministry. We don't have deep pockets. We are preachers who have feel a real obligation to communicate the truth publicly and to tie together the events of the day, which we believe that unless you have the Bible in one hand or a newspaper in the other, you really can't make sense of what's happening around us. But together, you can. That's what we try to do in the program, but we need your help. You can, on your app, go right there easily, even for $10 a month. Most of the time, that's throwaway money many times for us. Do that. Would you consider doing that for us? It would help us more than you can imagine. All right, with that being said, let's go back right now to our special guest, Bill Koenig. And Bill, before I get to this point, I want to talk with you and have you update us with some things that are happening there. With Islamic State effectively being thrown out of Iraq and Syria and so forth, there's a void that's setting up. I mean, on one hand, things to some degree are winding down, but on the other hand, things are actually winding up in many respects as Iran and its puppet Hamas and Hezbollah, Syria and so forth, are all positioning themselves for what would appear to be an attempt to come down and crush Israel. And I want you to talk about that. But in the middle of that, in that void, there are the Kurds that are up in part of Turkey, Iraq, and Syria that are clamoring for a new state, perhaps that called Kurdistan. And I want to talk about that. But before we go to Kurdistan, I'll just set that up. Before we go there, give us an update on what's happening there with Iran as they are trying to encircle Israel. And Israel, as they've actually fought back just a little bit ago, I think in Syria, going in there. So bring us up to date. What's happening? Are we having a brush with serious conflict staring us in the face?
Sam, the Kurds have a very good relationship with the United States, especially the military, U.S. military. In a lot of ways, the Peshmerga Kurds have been the U.S. boots in the ground, or even NATO's boots in the ground. They're incredible fighters. They're different than the PKK, which is more of the militant Kurdish group that is in direct opposition to the country of Turkey. However, there's a lot of people in the United States, even members of Congress, that have a great appreciation for the Kurds. So what's also interesting is the Kurds have a very good relationship with Israel. And matter of fact, Israel is even buying Kurdish oil at the beginning of all of the ISIS issues and problems. But Kurds in Iran don't get along. They're in constant conflict on the border. The Iranians are very significant. I'm going to pop around on a couple of subjects here that are important, Sam, is Iranians are very smart people. They're very strategic. They're very patient. I even had an Arab media member from Iraq, from Baghdad, explain to me a couple of years ago. He says, the Arab nations in the world play checkers while the Iranians play chess, three-dimensional chess. They're very smart. They're very formative. They've got a plan in Syria. The big concern right now for Israel is obviously deploying missiles and other things like that that can put every inch of Israel at risk. And that's pretty much already the case with the 150,000 rockets that have been put into southern Lebanon under the nose of the UN peacekeepers. So this whole dynamic that President Trump and General Mattis, General Dunford, they understand the number one problem in the Middle East, as well as Mike Pompeo at CIA. They understand the number one problem in the Middle East right now is Iran. So their idea is, okay, we're going to develop a Sunni coalition here to stand up to Iran. Obama empowered Iran with that nuke deal. And so consequently, we're watching the final day scriptures, Ezekiel 37, 38, and 39 coming together. We're watching Jeremiah 49, 35 through 39, that speaks of the day that Elam, modern-day Persia, will have a devastating defeat. And that hasn't been fulfilled yet. So most people that study the Middle East, and fortunately the Trump administration, understands the number one threat to the Middle East right now is Iran, and they must be dealt with.
So, you know, Bill, as we see these changes going on, just constantly changes in the Middle East, there's kind of a vacuum, as Sam described it, where ISIS is getting out of Iraq. The desire of the Kurds, who have been fighting hard, their desire to form a new nation, this Kurdistan out of maybe parts of Iraq or Syria, different places. Can you maybe update us a little bit on the progress and maybe let us know where the White House is in regard to this effort of the nation of Kurdistan?
Well, they're favorable. You know, everything in the Middle East is complicated, diplomatic. Unfortunately, you never find anybody that's really totally in sync with you. Israel's the closest, obviously the closest to that, even though the United States and Israel sometimes have their tensions. But, you know, everything's negotiable in the Middle East. When the strongmen, the Qaddafis and Saddam Hussein and people like that, Hafez Assad of Syria, ruled the Middle East, it was relatively calm compared to what it is today. So, obviously, I think the United States favors that. I know the people at the Pentagon have for years appreciated the Kurds, appreciated their fighting capability, appreciate the, you know, the things that they brought to the table, the fact that they've been able to, you know, be relied upon. And the big issue there is if we favor a independent Kurdish state, what's that going to do with our relationship with Iraq, where the United States is invested $1 trillion plus the tragic loss of life in our conflicts there. So, you know, as usual, Dave, it's a complicated playing field, but more people in Washington, Congress, members of the Pentagon, people at the Pentagon, and I think probably people at the White House too, favor a future Kurdish state. But as it will complicate things, and it'll probably have to be done in its own diplomatic timing. And if the Kurds take their state, will the Sunni Sunni part of Iraq say, we want to be independent? And then the Shiites, which is mostly around Baghdad and south where Basra, you know, you could have three states out of that. And some people think that probably would have been the best thing to do. So with a long answer to your question, Dave, it's very complicated, but I think more people are favorable toward a Kurdish state in Washington than anything else.
Bill, obviously, Israel has indicated support for this Kurdish state and for good reason. But can you help our listeners understand exactly who are the Kurds? We hear the term bandied about a lot. So who are they, and why would Israel and the United States favor this when in opposition to that, Turkey and Iran would be so opposed to it?
That's a good question. Obviously, the United States' relationship with Iran is not all that hot, and Iran's relationship with those Sunni countries that border the Persian Gulf that are all in missile range from Iran, which is a big, big concern right now because Iran's short-range missile capabilities improved dramatically over the last few years. So anyhow, we're not going to side with Iran. Our relationship with the United States' relationship with Turkey right now is very complicated since they're part of NATO. But the United States is moving more and more of its military out of Turkey, looking at building some other facilities in the Middle East. And that relationship is very tenuous, too. But, you know, when you look at Ezekiel 38 and 39 and the Gog-Magog coalition of most people would say it would be Russia, Iran, Turkey, Sudan, Libya, former Soviet Union countries in the Caucasian Mountains that are Islamic. It's all forming, Dave. So I think we have two things working here. We have the diplomatic front, which is very tenuous in the Middle East, and then we also have the biblical front, which we're watching these modern-day, final-day nations aligning.
Bill, one last question. You only have just a few seconds, but Israel did go in and take out a chemical factory, I believe, in Syria on the 7th, just a few days ago. Anything about that that you can update us with?
Yeah, that's correct. And they're going to be doing more and more of that. Israel's intelligence inside of Syria is phenomenal. And they just got to do that, Sam. They cannot, as well as missile shipments from Iran, they're coming from Iran, that are landing in Damascus, and they're trying to get those to Hezbollah. So we're going to see much more of what we just saw.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. Bill Koenig, special guest. And if you connect the dots here, he was talking about Israel says when they see blood moons, it means war. When they see signs in the sun, like we had an eclipse in North America, that's a sign to the Gentiles of judgment. These things are kind of factoring together. They really are. And the conflict Israel and with Iran and Syria, it's right at the doorstep. Now, when we come back, we're going to connect some dots a little bit more firmly in our solution segment. We're going to talk to Bill about markers, prophetical markers, how many of them are in place, what yet has to remain.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Back in 1993, MediShare was known as the best-kept secret in healthcare. But not anymore. Today, there are hundreds of thousands of Americans who've discovered what us long-timers have known since the beginning. MediShare is affordable healthcare that really works. The great thing is, we're not an insurance company. We're a nonprofit community. Hundreds of thousands of honest, hardworking people who agree to share each other's medical bills. Every share goes to help a fellow member. And when we say affordable, we mean it's common for our members to save upwards of $500 a month. Best of all, MediShare is always open. You can join anytime. So how about now? Isn't it time you joined MediShare?
Call 844-45-BIBLE to find out how much you can save on your healthcare. MediShare, now available in Montana. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence
influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, in this final segment today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to try to connect the dots a little bit more closely, I suppose, as we conclude this analysis, this evaluation, this focus on Israel, more or less, today. And there's so many places that we could go. We could spend days and days. We've touched on just a few. But if you were to walk away from the program today, I hope you to walk away with the thought that God's plan for the ages revolves around this nation. They are in their land right now. They were miraculously brought into being in 1948, just as God said would happen. And the fight that is all surrounding them right now is ultimately a fight against whether or not people agree with God or agree with the enemies of God. And that's really what it comes down to. So you either agree with Israel and the land and their right to be there, or you agree with those who don't believe with God. It's pretty simple. But the Lord said that when things began to happen over there, that other things around the world would happen, signs and stars and sky, and, you know, earthquakes and floods and hurricanes, all these things we've been talking about will also increase in frequency, in scope, and when they happen together, when they begin to happen together at the same time, these pieces fit together, you know that the Lord's second return is close. And we believe that that is the case. So, Bill, I want to go back to you. You've often used the word markers. I think on this program in the past, you've said there's 11 or 12 markers or whatever that you've identified that are in place now that Israel's back in the land. I'd just like you, if you could, expand upon that a little bit. What are those markers in the completing picture as we're seeing things come together? What are those markers as you've identified them? How many of those are completed, and what remains yet to be completed, if in fact there are?
Well, you know, Sam, I've been doing what I'm have been doing, being a watchman for the nation of Israel for 20 plus years, actively for 20 years. And when I used to speak to audiences, you know, 10, 15 years ago, there'd be two or three things in play at the same time that were biblically relevant. And over the last 3 to 4 years, every final day marker that's significant is in play. Number one, Jerusalem will become the burdensome stone. That is God's time clock. Watch what's taking place with the city of Jerusalem. And virtually every leader, but President Trump right now, wants to see the city of Jerusalem divided between the Jews and the Arabs, with East Jerusalem being a Palestinian state capital. Number two, Russia, very significant final day player. They're operating out of Syria now. They have a close relationship with the state of Israel. Number three, scriptures speak the day, Isaiah 17:1 speaks to the day that Damascus will no longer exist as a city. That could happen at any time. Damascus will be in play. Iran, major final day player in the part of the Gog-Magog coalition, as well as I mentioned, Jeremiah 49:35-39. They will be likely dealt with before they are part of that coalition, so that's very significant. What's interesting also, one world political order, one world religious order. We're seeing a lot of activity going in that direction right now. The technology is going to make the mark of the beast possible. More and more people are getting comfortable with implants and something under their skin for safety and security and things like that. The other thing which is so interesting to me is the United States does not have a very significant final day biblical role in the scriptures, but no nation is doing more to accelerate final day events than the United States. And I think President Trump being present this time with the threat of Iran and North Korea and some of the other challenges in the Middle East, this is falling right in line, and we will continue to see that accelerate. The other thing is the Some people, the Psalm 83 war, Israel's war with their neighbors, the coalition of nations, which is very interesting in Psalm 83. Some people say it's not a prophetic scripture, but the countries in there, Sam, are countries that Israel has to contend with. The fact that Iran is going to be deploying missiles or attempt to deploy missiles in Syria and Lebanon is going, Israel at some point is going to have to make a decision. We've got to hit them first. We have to preemptively hit them first rather than be hit later. They were very close to doing that in 2012 when Obama talked them out of it with a commitment to putting stronger sanctions on Iran. So you see the nations aligning. You see the one world political order, religious order, despite the United States is in the one world political order is not falling in place right now. But the religious order with the Vatican, the replacement theology churches that don't see any biblical significance to the nation of Israel, and also their relationship with Muslim clerics and imams, that aligning. So this is a good summary of all final day markers aligning with everything leading up to the final battle for Jerusalem, which is Armageddon. And one important thing here also in Daniel 9:27, Sam, there will eventually be a peace deal. It'll be a 7-year deal that breaks in the midpoint when the Antichrist comes on top of the Temple Mount in Jerusalem and declares himself to be the Messiah. So there will be a peace deal. We're just not sure when that's going to happen or how it's going to happen.
Bill, two quick questions. You said other than Donald Trump, the other world leaders want to see a divided Jerusalem. Who is exerting the influence on President Trump most with respect to Israel? And then number two, what should be the response of Christians as they listen to you lay out all these markers, which are so abundantly and prophetically clear?
Well, it's interesting is because the only pressure that President Trump is experiencing right now having to do with the state of Israel is moving that embassy. The EU, members of the UN, Russia, they think moving the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem would be a big mistake. So he heard from the major leaders like Merkel, some of the other leaders in the Middle East, even some of the Arab leaders like King Abdullah, President Sisi from Egypt. So that he heard about them. Then they were concerned when he didn't make a commitment to a two-state plan, which I think is a negotiating strategy. I think if Israel was willing to do a two-state and they could work something out along that line, if they could pull it off, he might go along with it. But I think that's more of a negotiating status than anything else. But he truly would like to see Israel live in peace and security. Dave, the other thing which is interesting and somewhat perplexing and something for us to all pray about is the fact that we, the evangelicals that understand the scriptures and believe the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, or a small group of people that understand the biblical significance of the times we live in. A couple of years ago, to actually 2004, I put a list together of all the replacement theology churches in America, and that is 100 million Christians from Protestant churches and Catholic churches that attend church that don't see any biblical significance to the state of Israel today. So what's ironic is one of the greatest threats to Israel is the World Council churches, the National Council churches, and the Vatican that have all called on Israel to leave the occupied land.
All right, and Bill, I'm going to have to step in because we're right at the end of the program. Ladies and gentlemen, you're hearing a lot of stuff. Go back to our website, standonthegapradio.com, pick up this archive. Bill Koenig, White House correspondent, thank you for being with us today again. And Dave Kistler, can I ask you to close us in prayer in the remaining moments here of the program? We need God to help us in this country today.
Father, thank you so much for what we've heard today. Lord, thank you that the words we have heard coming from Bill, Lord, reinforce what the scripture says unequivocally. And Lord, we who know you as Savior, may we be motivated like never before to declare your gospel in these highly impactful times. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for being with us today, ladies and gentlemen. Special guest Bill Koenig, his website at watch.org, and our website at standinthegapradio.com. On behalf of Isaac Crockett, Dave Kistler, and myself, Sam Rohr, we thank you for being with us. Join us again tomorrow, 23 hours from now.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.